Get one unbelievable finance rate across a range of vehicles at West Point Nissan, only for a limited time.
Welcome to the catch-up for a Friday. We found out if you park in private parking places and they give you a fine, I'm going to leave it there. You got to hear, do you have to pay them or not?
So good.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Marty, we spoke to Michael Hagan, assistant coach of the Kangaroos. You and him finally put something to bed that's been going since the 70s.
Played together in a premiership winning team a long time ago. Didn't want to know me, but now he does.
Yeah, also we were talking about the Winx Jinx.
Yeah, love that.
What about you doing accidental burnouts yesterday?
I know, I didn't mean to. The storm and the jacarandas.
Yeah, and Jared from The Bachelor, the loser from The Bachelorette, called in. So there's plenty on the catch-up today.
So we're talking about non-compliance breach notices, a ticket on your car for parking for too long in suburban car parks.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked, listen, do you have to pay these things or you can ignore them? We've had calls. Some callers said, yeah, it's a no problems, just ignore them. Some people are going, no, they can take you to jail in the end. So we couldn't work it out. So we've gone to a man who does know everything. He's a criminal lawyer for 35 years, former president of the Queensland Law Society and good bloke, Bill Potts. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does this mean? Do we have to pay these fines?
There are two types of fines. One is, for example, your local council who puts the yellow ticket on your windscreen and says, if you don't pay, off you go.
Yep.
Now, the reality is those things, which are done by civil authorities, that is the police in Clearways, your local council, those you have to pay, because if you don't, a number of things can happen. You can lose your car and you can end up with what they call a spur debt, which is pretty nasty.
Yeah.
However, if you're parking on private property, somewhere under somebody's building or in the backyard of somebody's place on a Saturday afternoon, and you receive one of these notices, in effect, all it is a demand that you pay it. It's not actually enforceable unless they go to the civil and administrative tribunal and get an order, and they won't do it because it's too expensive to do.
Wowzers.
I am so glad we spoke to you.
So what are their threats about? They've got threats. They've got lawyer letters, apparently, Bill Potts. They've got all these lawyers that they send letters from.
I've seen these things, and they're really quite remarkable. But in essence, they're a scam. What these people say is we're acting. If you don't pay the amount that they're demanding, and the amount they're demanding bears no resemblance to any particular cost or loss to them.
No, yeah, exactly.
Their claim is that you have to pay legal fees. Firstly, you can't do that. Secondly, you've got to pay administrative fees. And God forbid that you don't pay any of them, you get a second letter with bright red large letters that says, if you don't pay this, dreadful things will happen to you. Your cat will die and your neighbour will never talk to you ever again. The effect of all of that is that it's just nonsense, because the only way they can ever do this is firstly have a big notice up that says this is what it will cost you, and then secondly, they've got to enforce it by going through this civil and administrative tribunal. And they almost never do because, quite frankly, it's a waste of time. So let's be frank. You don't want someone parking over your driveway.
No,
you don't want someone taking up your precious car park in your front yard. But these letters and increasingly hysterical demands for money are just simply very difficult to enforce and are almost never enforced.
My God, you've solved it in one. Thanks, Bill.
Anytime.
Bill Potts, former president of the Queensland Law Society. Always a pleasure. Triple M. Marto, time to get investigatorial. Hit it.
CSI Marto.
Righto. In light of what's occurred over the last couple of days, I've asked a question and we don't know the answer, so therefore we're asking everyone else. Mozzies have gone crazy for the last 2 days, and as of yesterday, can I confirm your house, Robin Bailey? Flies?
Oh, they're foul.
Did they start up yesterday?
Yes, they did.
All right.
I get the mozzies in the rain. I'm not sure with the fly thing. They just thought they were missing
same
a party.
Thing. No, same thing. I think after the rain, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. But what I really want to know, where do they live? Like, are they in the same house? Like, are the mozzies? The mozzies don't come out. Do you notice that?
That's
the
true.
Flies go
together.
Home.
Yep.
Well, they knock off around five or so. The mozzies come out. Where do they live?
What do you mean?
Like,
under leaves
where do they
or something?
Sleep?
Don't they?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Mozzies lived under the leaves in mango trees. But
what's their life expectancy?
I don't know.
We know nothing.
I don't want to get an expert on. I want everyone to give us their knowledge about mozzies and flies. Have you ever followed one home and gone, oh, that's where he lives?
Where do
flies live?
Where do flies live? Where do mozzies live? What is the life expectancy of both of them? Where do they reside?
Do you know I was told once it's only female mosquitoes that bite you because they need the blood for the protein for their eggs?
From what we can tell, it's Mozzie weather. Who is it, Mozzie
CSI Motto.
So, Detective Mardo is on the case. You want to know about mozzies and flies, mate?
Where do they go in winter? Like, obviously they die. But there must be a breeding pair that goes somewhere. Like, how do they know? Well, it's warm enough now and they've come out again and gone crazy. Where have they been?
Well, we've got ourselves an expert because, life expectancy expert, Paul from Jimboomba. G'day, Paul.
Hey, guys. Life expectancy expert?
Yeah, that'll do.
We'll give you that.
Trust me.
What do you know about mozzies and flies?
Well, I remember back in school when we were doing science, back then, male mosquitoes live for 10 days and the female ones live up to, I think, just from memory, 46 to 56 days. The reason why, the females live longer is they're the ones that need the blood supply for their eggs. They're the ones that bite us, not the male.
That's what I've heard too.
So are they smaller then? They're going to be one of those species where the male is smaller, isn't it, Paul?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, because sometimes, you get the little ones, you get the little tiny ones, and then you get the
big
ones.
Yeah, well, they don't bite you. It's the actual bigger ones. They're the female ones. They're the ones that carry the biggest sack on them as well. They're the ones that dive in and punch at your skin.
where do you reckon they go? Like, during the daytime, why don't mozzies hang around in the daytime much?
Well, as you know, Marto, I do a lot of waterproofing, and when I go into a lot of wet areas, and especially when you're cutting your drain pipes out, you find them in the really dark, cool areas.
So
when I go into a house or something like that, guarantee there will be mosquitoes coming out of your drain pipes.
Your drain pipes, I knew it.
Yeah, because of the moisture and the wetness in there as well. I assume, I'm not 100% sure on that one.
No, that's great.
Do you reckon flies and mozzies live together?
No.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Because you don't get mozzies in broom and really hot places. You don't have mozzies there, do you?
No, but you do have flies.
Cairns, you do.
But it's near water.
But that's tropical.
Yeah,
yes, Robin.
Tropical. So a lifespan of a fly is 15 to 30 days.
Oh, you Google now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unless you're a fly expert, 133353. Mosquitoes are attracted to water, so as we were just being told.
Living, where they live.
Close to water, that's all it's saying.
Oh, God.
Flies, not so much. Flies don't like water. They just go into dry, leafy areas. Did that help?
No, well, not enough, but I'll just leave it there, I suppose.
Do you want to go and eradicate them? Is that the thing?
No, I just want to know where they go. Like, isn't it amazing that flies don't hang around at the same time as mozzies?
Okay.
It is true.
I wanted more. I'm very disappointed in it.
It's like grid girls at the V8s. You never see them unless they're on the track. Like, where do they go?
Where do they go?
Tonight on Channel 7, you're going to get to watch Australia take on England in the opening of the Rugby League World Cup. Now, we know it's going to be Mal Meninga versus Wayne Bennett in the main chairs, Mardo, but there's another man just sitting behind Mal Meninga with an incredible record himself. He's an Origin coach. He's a premiership coach with Newcastle. His name is Michael Hagan, and he's on the line. G'day, Mick.
Morning, team.
Hello, mate. Mick Hagan, as well, was the brains behind the operation for years as the assistant coach of the Queensland team behind Mal. So you were used to working for the big fella. How do you overcome complacency, Mick?
Oh, I think Mal's set the tone very early this week when the boys come into camp about trying to re-establish what we got done in the Four Nations at the end of last year. And, that was a fantastic trip and the boys played extremely well. In the final against New Zealand, we played well against England over there. But it all starts again, and we've got to go back to sort of square one. Even though these boys have played quite a bit of footy together, we've still got a couple of newcomers. Michael Morgan at 5'8". We've got Dane Gagai on right wing. Jordan McLean, of course. Wade Graham on debut. So we've got a bit of work to do there just to get everyone comfortable. But it's about keeping it pretty simple and trying to start well and knowing that Wayne and their forward pack are going to come at us with all they've got, and we know that we need to counteract that tonight when we kick off.
Cam Smith and Cooper Cronk, their combination's unbelievable. I guess they're running the operation, and do you work everything? Are they keen to share how they do things at Melbourne and just spread it through the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an unwritten rule that you sort of leave your club and your state plans behind. And then when you come into the Kangaroos environment, it's about how we want to play and what we want to get done. But you're spot on. I mean, they're champion players. They trained really well this week. I mean, yesterday's session was excellent, given we've only had two or three sessions this week to get our preparation done. But they're coming off that fantastic premiership win, and Billy Cooper and Cam were in good touch yesterday. They're all fit, and they're all in good spirits. So I think that's a good for us to be in, given how much footy they've played and what we've got to look forward to tonight and in the next month.
Rugby League World Cup is going to be good fun. As we know, there's been a lot of players sort of not playing for the supposed larger nations. It's going to make the whole thing more even, which is great. Now, we're all excited about the Rugby League World Cup, but I'm sorry, but we're going to have to deal with this because...
Yes, we are.
Michael Hagan, Marto here, claims... Now, this is a claim that he makes. He claims that you, the two of you, played in a team together. Which team was it, Marto?
It was the under-13s in 1976 at West Mitchelton Rugby League, and we won the Division 1 Northside Premiership against Pine Rivers.
How good. I think I was playing up a year that time, Marto. I think I was maybe a year younger.
Are you going to claim it? Do you remember there was a day out at West Mitchell you were training the Origin team and you denied ever knowing me?
No, I never did that. I've never said it. And you know there's a couple of West Mitchell boys in camp, none other than me and Adrian Lamb.
Oh, God.
How far have we come from the humble beginnings of West Mitchell now working in and around the Kangaroos? How good's that?
Well, two have. Marto, stay where he is. I would imagine.
Right. So, you did actually play together, or
We did. I'm happy to confirm. It was one of those milestones in my career that I won't forget.
Would you say that under-13 premiership is up there with the two premierships you won at the Bulldogs and the one you coached at the Knights?
Only half.
I tell you what, I also helped this year with the second division team in Newcastle, the Fingal Bay Bomboras. I was helping their captain coach, and they won the premiership this year. So there's another one.
What a dynasty. What a dynasty. Michael Hagan.
And
well played.
Michael, it's totally fine if you want to ignore Marto. There are times a lot of people do. So if you in the future, that's fine too.
If it gets back to you, there's been a discussion on Facebook and everyone's going, Mick played 5/8 that day.
Of course. Mitchie boys stick together. You know that.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, Mick Hagan, tonight we're going to see those Kangaroos take on England on Channel 6. Seven, good to speak to you, mate.
All the best, thank you.
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Robin Bailey, last night, the emotional finale of The Bachelorette.
So much to unpack and so little time, but let's start with Jared. Jared, the psycho muffin, who I actually started to warm to towards the end.
Goodness.
Yeah, he was the emotional one. That was the true definition last night of clubbing a harp seal, because Sophie finally told him that he wasn't the one.
In my head, I know you're everything, but my heart belongs to someone else.
No.
So sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, it's hard.
I adore you, you know that.
Now you got me tearing up.
Yeah, I adore you, but I'm going to fall onto someone else. And that someone else, of course, was the $500 million worth former playboy who owned lots of pubs.
We tipped him on this show before he even arrived on The Bachelor show. I told you it was going to happen.
I know, but I know you two are going to be super cynical about this, but there was something watching those two last night that actually genuinely felt like...
Who, Stu the rich bloke?
Stu the rich bloke and Sophie. Okay, have a listen. Like, he tears up and everything.
I'm in love with you.
The moment I hopped off that chopper, I knew I'd done the right thing. I'm gonna cry. It's so bad. I love everything about you. I know it took me forever to say, but I didn't want to get it wrong. You have rescued me. This was such a risk doing this.
I know.
But it's so paid off. I always remember.
awkward. Okay, stop laughing, Marto.
I'm trying to cry. I'm trying to get myself. Like, he's crying because, A, he knows he's going to have a vasectomy reverse. That's going to hurt so much. And he knows his wife, Rachel, is still married to her. They're not divorced, are they?
No, but Sophie rescued him, didn't you hear?
Every tear was ripping another $10 million off him in the divorce settlement. That's what tears were about.
And I read today where Sophie says...
Is she all right?
And look, Marto, just have a box of Kleenex standby because I know this is going to make you tear up because this is romance for me. When they envisaged this show, The Bachelor, and it was all about eligible people that have somehow slipped through the net, their one chance at love. And when Sophie says... We can freeze my, and I quote, we can freeze my eggs and get them to wherever his sperm is frozen.
Yeah, she did say that.
I mean, that, I don't know if romance has ever had. And you know what? I just wanted to mention this quickly because I do work for Channel 10 and it was a big success for Channel 10. So thank you, Sophie. Thank you, Sophie, so much for that. What do we know? We know that Stew Dogs has to have a reverse vasectomy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, why don't we do it live, right? Live on Channel 10, right? Yeah. While he does one of his 9-minute lectures and then we throw straight, whatever viewers are left, we throw straight to a medical facility where Stu's on the table and obviously Grant Denny is hosting. Hello, guys, welcome aboard. I'm here, Grant Denny here, and Stu's about to have the reverse snip, right? And if only, Marto, if only Channel 10 had a medical professional on staff that could do it, who are we thinking of?
Chris Brown.
The Bondi vet.
Oh, my God. How good's that? They're the same. Dogs, gonads, human gonads. They're all the same.
I don't know.
What about, there's another show that's a possibility.
What?
Is just a follow-up where James Packer comes over the top and he's richer than Stewie and boots him. This could go on.
Hang on. We've been talking about Jared, lost the Bachelorette. He's actually on the phone.
Poor Jared. Jared, I know it's a sad day or it was a sad night. How are you feeling since you've lost?
Hey, everybody. I'm actually cool. I'm actually cool because I'm actually the winner. My mummy, you know, I live with my mummy in a winery, and my mummy, I was watching with my mummy, and I was curled up on the couch, and there was a big pimple on the back of my neck, and she's like, I gotta get it, Jazza. And I was like, not now, mummy, but she got it, and that was a bit of an owie, and I cried for about an hour, but then she gave me a hot chockey, and she tucked me up inside my Betty Byes with my Superman jammies. Marto, I've got Superman jammies, so you tell me who's a loser.
Yeah,
I'm 32 years old, and I've got Superman jammies. You tell me who's a loser.
Well, Darren, Australia really felt for you. We really started to warm for you after a while. But what are you going to do now, though?
Well, it's Mummy and I were chatting about this. Like, we stayed up till like 10 o'clock last night. Mummy's like, we are being so naughty. And I was like, don't give us a spank, Mummy. But she did it, which is cool. And so then we were like, Mummy and I have got a trip planned. We're going to go. She says, Jazz, that's what she calls me. She says, Jazz can go to Disneyland. As long as I don't drink too much red cordial because I go a bit loopy. And then we're going to come home. And then every night what we do is we have a little routine. She sings me a little song which goes, Jared, you're not a loser, even though everybody thinks you are. And nobody wants you except Mummy. And then we read from my favourite book, Robin. It's a book called Oedipus. Have you read it? He's a cool guy. And then I drift off to bye-byes. And then we get up in the body and we do it all again. So everything's okay for Jazz. Don't you worry about me, okay?
Oh, that's great, Jared.
I gotta go. My mummy says I got a dirty butt, and I gotta get it washed. Bye.
Thanks, Jared.
Cox Plate tomorrow in Moonee Valley in Melbourne, and all eyes are turning to one horse, one brave mare, called Winx. If it wins, Robin, it's going to break a record, I believe.
Yeah, Black Caviar holds the 25-race winning streak. And if Winx wins tomorrow, then she will break that. So if you're a fan of Black Caviar and you don't want Winx to win, here's your time.
Well, listen, no, there's no such thing as a sure bet. What's Winx paying, about $1.10 or $1.15?
Yeah.
So they're saying it's a certainty and everyone's going there just to watch Winx run. I don't know what the use of that is. But quite simply, we saw the All Blacks get beaten last weekend. We saw that marathon the other day where the front six runners were taken the wrong way by the motorbike and the guy coming seventh won. These things happen in sport.
Trump? I mean, it's been a year of upsets.
One of those years.
It's been a year of upsets, and we think it might continue. And we would like to have our Winx Jinx, which is where we are trying to give away a $10 betting voucher on the nose of every other horse in the race. Because
should we explain to everyone what's going on with the odds? So Winx is $1.15. Every other horse in the race is $17 or above.
There's money to be made.
And they do have really good jockeys. Damien Oliver is riding tomorrow in the Cox Plate. Michelle Payne is riding.
Oh, is she still
riding? So 133353 if you want to bet against Winx.
Now, our friend Nick Curry from UBet is on the line. G'day, mate.
Morning, Ed. Morning, everyone.
Now, you've heard about our idea of the Winx Jinx. And now we know that everybody inside the betting and racing world loves Winx, like your good selves. But would you be able to help us out with some vouchers for our horses that aren't Winx?
Yeah, look, we'd be delighted to help you out. So we've provided the $10 betting vouchers there for every other horse in the race.
God,
on the nose.
Unlike you guys, though, on the nose. And unlike you guys, though, I don't think that'll be going off. That's why we're more than happy to provide it.
Hey, tomorrow. What's the longest odds in the race?
Like, who's 150 to 151 hard ham.
Yes, indeed. But Hardham would need to find about 151 lengths.
But isn't Moonee Valley, isn't there something about it? There's a really tight corner. Anything could happen.
Yeah, look, it is racing, and there's no such thing as a sure thing in this sport, and we've seen that with, long-priced results in the Caulfield Cup and the Caulfield Guineas this year already.
Yeah,
but those horses, those races, they don't have Winx. Winx is just a champion. She's the best in the world. She'll be winning her third straight Cox Plate. She'll be winning her 22nd race in a row. Yeah.
You're no fun, Nick.
Well, it is fun because we got the vouchers. Hey, Nick, good on
you, mate.
UBet has given us the vouchers. Jump on the UBet website. Of course, you can gamble responsibly, but those vouchers are in 133353 straight away. Phil, well done, mate. You got Happy Clapper.
Yes.
Hi.
Contain your excitement. Happy Clapper. Yeah, nice one, mate. You got it. It's paying $21 at the moment, so you're up for $210 if it wins.
Excellent. Right. I reckon it's a good chance.
Yeah. Written by Damien Oliver. Yeah. You could do okay.
Don't engage your listeners too much.
I won't. Brad's got Galo Chop. Tim's got Humidor. Marcus from Bray Park's got Kaspersky. Now, they tell me something about Kaspersky. Doesn't this one have a bit of juice on it, Marta? There's something about Kaspersky.
Mate, it's paying $81.
Like.
So if we give Marcus, you've got Kaspersky. You there, son?
Yeah, mate. Yeah,
you get $810 if it wins, okay?
Yeah, but it's ridden by Michelle Payne.
That's good.
That's great.
Sounds like a winner.
There you go.
Hey, Kevin from Upper Kedron's got Folkswood. That sounds like
paying $21.
No, but that's a British horse, and it's also ridden by Kieran McAvoy, who's also a Melbourne Cup winner. So
Melbourne Cup. Come on. That's pretty
good.
Julian from Vicky Point's got, is that Sea Burger? What's that called?
Seaburge.
Oh, Seaburge.
Paying 101. Who's got that one?
Julie, if you win, you're going to get $1,000.
Bargain.
See?
Just hold on to that, Jules.
Thank you. Well done.
Well played, Jules.
Who's got number seven? Who's this one?
Andy from Caboolture. Andy, you got hard, what is it called? Hard hand.
Hardham, good stuff.
Yeah, mate. If it wins, you get $1,500.
Sounds good. I'll buy you beer.
Oh, no, good, mate.
$151 to one. That's a shocker.
And there's one left, and it's the one that'll probably win, Royal Symphony.
Oh, we know.
That's it.
Okay,
that's
this is Mick.
Who are we
from Park Ridge. This is Mick from Park Ridge.
That's the winner, guys. Looking for more distance last week in the Caulfield Cup and had the best times coming home in the last 100 metres. I'm on it.
Look at you, buddy. You know what's going on. Do you honestly think Winx can lose?
Oh, of course, hey. Every champion's got to have its day.
That's right. What about Bradbury? That could happen, one of those situations.
That's it. Trip over, someone's trying a laser at it or something, eh?
Someone throws a laser. Well done, Mick. Well played, everyone. Good luck. For West Point Nissan Indooroopilly, get one unbelievable finance rate across a range of vehicles at West Point Nissan, only for a limited time. It's 440 Moggill Road, Indooroopilly, or West Point Nissan. .com.au, Marto, Robin, front page of the paper today.
Oh dear,
the investigation into the NRL by a task force, whatever it was
Hookers,
called.
Hookers, lines and drinkers, cops warn of players in danger. What about this?
When you go to the details and you're like, here we go, the NRL's completely fixed because everybody wants an escort, you find out no. They've done a long investigation, Robin Bailey. No charges are going to be laid. The stories by Mark Murray and Michael Karyanis in the Courier Mail says here, quote, the investigation also found crime figures supplied players with prostitutes, cocaine, and encouraged them to gamble to get inside information for betting on our NRL games.
See, I don't... What sort of inside information is going to help them?
The Titans are shit.
Well exactly right.
Gee, how I much mean... do I owe you for that?
Thanks for the hooker.
Like,
the
seriously, what sort of inside information? What the coach is telling
you think,
them?
You think he's getting cozy. So they're saying they provided prostitutes to some of the players to get information. Like, you know, you're going hammer and tongs at it, and I'm assuming it's a girl, says to him, what's happening this weekend? And he goes, well, we're going to bang it up the first three tackles, then we'll send it wide on the fourth, and if we haven't scored, we'll throw up a bomb. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, then she reports
that was well
back.
Worth it. Yeah, she tells she the crime bosses.
The crime bosses.
They put all their money. And,
on what?
That's how money gets on laundered. What? That's the modern world, Robin.
But what are they putting their money on? The end result?
Yeah, end result. Mm. But they could know, the inside information could be, such and such isn't going to play. You know, key player's not going to play. Such and such is playing injured, so we're going to be running at him.
Alfie's no good this weekend.
Yeah, that type of thing. That's what they would get as...
How much encouragement do footballers need to drink, gamble, take drugs and use prostitutes? Do they need much encouragement by crime figures, or do they just find their way there on their own?
No. Bets made by individuals, including 100,000 placed by people acting for a major gambling identity. So remember we heard they kept finding out that players' betting accounts were being used by other people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
as a sort of a proxy for these big gamblers, Robin. So that's part of what they're saying. So 59 search warrants, gaining access to bank accounts, TAB accounts and phone data. 46,000 pages of financial statements.
Oh, my God.
What a waste of time. Just walk up to anyone in the NRL and go, hey, man, do you like free sex and possible drugs? I sure do. Great. Case closed.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
The storms. In the paper they're saying strong wind gusts and large hailstones lashed past of southeast Queensland. Trains were delayed.
We got the thunder. Holy, and you could see it rolling in from the west, but the rain wasn't, like, we didn't get hail or anything.
It was pretty light, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, maybe that's only on the north of Brisbane.
But I do have a traffic question that came about yesterday, and I genuinely didn't know what to do. So if you can help me, 133353, seriously. Okay, what? So I drive a Mazda CX-9. It's quite a big, heavy car, and I was coming from Ashgrove. I was trying to get home, get onto the Western Freeway, and I'm coming along Jubilee Terrace to Barden.
Yep.
You know, there's the traffic lights right at the top, and it lets the cars come in through the gap.
Yep, through Cooper's Camp Road there. Yep.
And there is a church or a community centre on the side.
Yeah, on the left-hand yep, side.
Right.
Yeah,
okay, so I'm stopped at that hill bit, and it was the highest point
it's
of the hill.
Pretty steep, you see. Yeah, I know.
Okay,
steep,
right. Now, because of the rain and because there was a lot of leaf matter around, and I'm guessing the jacarandas,
it was dirty jacarandas.
Right, it was super slippery, and I am in the car, and the lights go green, and I cannot, and I felt so unsafe, I could not get traction with my tyres. Now, I'm not talking, and I'm driving automatic, I'm not talking squealing them, but as I started to put my foot on the accelerator, it just kept spinning. And I'm thinking, I don't have control of this car and I don't know what to do.
It didn't roll backwards, did it?
Well, yes. And even though it's an auto, but because it, it started to...
It just didn't go forwards.
No, but it didn't. There was no control in the car.
Were you trying to do some
drifting? I wasn't.
Wow.
But I don't know what to do in that situation. And it's happened a couple of places. It's happened is Miskin Street.
Fantastic.
If you're coming up to the top of Miskin Street from BBC to turn down and you get stuck.
But you weren't trying to do it intentionally. Yeah,
no.
Sometimes in the wet you just slide around corners a bit on purpose. That wasn't your intention.
Aquaplaning myself around corners, no. I just want to know, how do you get out of that?
If you drop it back to second or something or other.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, you know, the handle that's like shaped like a T probably.
Yeah, that's why I got an auto. You just put it into drive and
did you have the handbrake on?
I started to.
Right.
Because then I thought maybe if I put the handbrake on and treat it like a manual car.
Someone will know.
Please help. I genuinely didn't know what to do.
Were you really giving it plenty of stick?
No, because then I started to, and that just made it worse, and the wheels just kept spinning. And I'm thinking, great. What do you do?
Ian from Greenbank. Come on, Ian. Help Robin out. What should she do?
Look, just back off the accelerator a little bit and just slowly drive through it. You've given it a little bit too much gas to start off with. The wheel started spinning, so you've broken traction and you're basically riding above the road. It's the same as if you hit the brakes really hard when it's pouring down rain and you slide above it. You got to slowly do these things in the weather.
Give it less humpty. That's what he's saying. Just ease.
Yeah, because you're kind of, well, my gut instinct on a steep hill is to get it more. Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks, Ian. Terry's from Bow Desert. Tez, what should Robin or anyone in this situation be doing?
Oh, well, I just get on and off the accelerator, mate. Like, just tap it, really.
Oh, so sort of like ease on and ease off, so don't put pedal to the metal type of deal.
Yeah, just slowly tap it and then should really try and find traction that way.
What if it keeps going, Terry? What if it keeps spinny? What then?
Oh, well, every time I've done it, mate, she seemed to be all right.
Okay.
You're in an auto, Tez? Oh, sorry, Robin.
Yeah, this is on the road, yeah. Okay. You see V8s do it as well. Like, V8s will often on the throttle all the time just to try and find traction. They'll heat your tyres up as well.
Yeah, Ian, just before you from Greenbank, said it right. You've got to stay in contact with the road. So if you're hitting it too hard, it just spins and you've got no contact.
I started to think of things like, and the cars were backing up behind me because it was Jubilee Terrace. But
how long were you spinning the wheels?
Oh, it probably wasn't that long. But you know when you don't know what to do, and I'm thinking, well, could I do it? Could I spin the car around and go down the hill and then try and find another way out?
You're going to do a Yui.
Rex from Beenleigh. Rex. Now, Robin's got a Mazda, a CX. X9 or 7?
No,
9. Okay,
no.
But you know something about these Mazdas, Rex?
Yes, I actually drive a 7, and right next to the steering wheel is a traction control. And I hit traction control, and I take my boat up and down the boat ramp.
Oh, right,
and never skids whatsoever. So maybe this, I'm pretty sure CX9s would have a traction control button on them. Perhaps it's turned off.
Okay, so do you just press a button? Is that what you're saying to me?
That's it. Yep, it's usually on the 7. It's to the right of the steering wheel, just on the dash. Yeah.
Thank you, Rex. The other option is just to get some of that, get some of those coloured tyres and make an event out of it. You know, just spin them up.
Hide for hire, safely taking you to new heights.
Motto, Ed and Robin, lend a hand.
And we are lending a hand to local sporting clubs. So if you have one that you want us to be able to assist with, then go to triplem.com.au. But at the moment, we're in the throes of helping Zach, who's one of the coaches of the Pine Rivers Swans AFL Club. Zach Robinson, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah. Good.
Well, Zach, you guys, the Swans aren't an enormous club, and you rang us the other day. What were you after?
Just some footies. We aren't one of the big ones, so we sort of get left behind. We're heading out in the back of Strathpine, so no one really finds us.
Yeah.
And also, I know that you were saying the other day that the footies, they get waterlogged. You've had them for years and they're a bit misshapen. So the kids are trying to learn to kick, but they're trying to learn to kick with footies that don't teach them how to kick. So they're not good to kick with.
Right. Yeah,
that's
right.
How long you had the same footies for? Yeah.
I've been there for 2 years and we've had them for the 2 years that I've been coaching.
Oh, well, they're at least 3 or 4 years old, these footies, which is
I'd
not
say so, yeah.
There's nothing better than kicking a new Sharon, is there?
Oh, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah, no.
Well, guess what? We have got for you 15 brand new Sheridan footballs.
Not Sheridan, Sharon.
That one.
That is awesome. That is great news.
Sharon.
Yes, well, we hope it helps out. Triple M Sharon's, of course, our friends at Hype for Hire have helped us out there. They're absolute champions, Zach. They're so quick. They called straight away as soon as you're on the air. So
Zach,
15 brand new Triple M footies.
Can we just tell Zach? Now, listen, I hope you can pull some of the boys together because we're sending out Dan Merritt and Simon Black for a training session, mate. Or Richard Champion as well, who are all on our commentary team, of course. We're sending them out with the footballs for a coaching session.
You're kidding.
No, mate. Can you get the band back together in the next couple of weeks?
I don't think I'd have much of a problem with that.
Right,
I think
you'll
have a very happy young group of kids.
I know, Zach. So anyway, not just your boys. If you want to get some of the other teams at the club, will you be responsible for that? We'll get the balls and the champions of AFL out there.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
So, Zach, what will this mean to the kids?
Sorry?
What will this mean for the kids?
Oh, it'll mean the world to them, to know that we're not always forgotten about.
Oh, absolutely right. And this, as long as you've got some, we'll give you some sunscreen as well for Dan Merritt. He's a very pasty man living in Queensland, and he's still doing a great job. Oh, that's fantastic. There you go. Simon Black, Dan Merritt, Richard Champion, all jumping on board to come and have a training session with the kids and some brand new Triple M Sharons, all thanks to us and to Hype for Hire. Good on you, Zach. Good luck to the Pine River Swans. Mate, thanks for getting on board. And if you've got a sporting club that needs some help, triplem.com.au, because we're here and we want to help.